Well, Palm Sunday, and I want to share this message with you. I know that Brian brought us halfway through chapter 27 of Matthew. It's our series, and it's been the journey of the Gospel of Matthew. We're coming toward the end. In fact, we're at the finish line, about to cross over the finish line. And he told you that they brought Jesus out to crucify him and then stopped right there. And I'm not going to tell you whether they did or not today. You have to come to Good Friday. This Friday, and I'll give you the second half of that chapter, and we'll talk about Jesus' crucifixion. But today, we're going to go right back to Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. And I'm going to call it Psalm Sunday, right? How about that for cleverness? Psalm Sunday. Because the Palm Sunday is built around this prophecy psalm, this psalm that was out there that they all knew, that if and when the Messiah comes, we will proclaim Psalm 118. So keep that in mind. And when we get to Psalm 118, you'll know why I call it Psalm Sunday. Now, in our journey, we have studied all the things that Jesus did and spoke and taught and was to fulfill the messianic prophecies concerning him. That's why we called the series to fulfill what was spoken. And probably this more than any, I'll use that phrase for more than any other time, because we see the prophecies rolling out that Jesus is fulfilling. And the people of Israel, particularly in Jerusalem, particularly the religious leaders, they knew the scriptures really well. They weren't blind. They grew up in Torah, memorizing, learning Torah, and studying and waiting for the Messiah. So they knew that when the Messiah comes, he will do this. He will be this. There's no other way. He'll be from the tribe of Judah. He'll be born in Bethlehem from a virgin, all those things. And they knew it. But they also had in their mind that he would come as a conquering king. And in their situation, they would kick out Herod, kick out the Roman Empire, rule like David did, even stronger, on Jerusalem, major, powerful throne, and conquer every enemy in its path. That's what they were waiting for. And when they saw that Jesus had a different idea, that he was operating in the power and authority of God, but on the spiritual plane and doing fierce battle with the spiritual forces of darkness that were there, they were not tuned into that, so they rejected him. They rejected him. And they knew this, though. When the Messiah comes, at least two things would happen. One is that he'd come into Jerusalem on a donkey. I know that sounds kind of random, but well, Zechariah tells us he will. And that the second thing is that then when he does come in on that donkey, they would proclaim, everyone would proclaim the Messiah phrase, Psalm 118, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So those two things were out there. And this is the psalm that we're talking about for Psalm Sunday, Psalm 118, 22 through 27. The stone, is a prophecy, the builders rejected, has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. So let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. That phrase right there, Lord, save us. You know how we say it in Hebrew? Hosanna. That's how that's said. It says, Lord, save us. Grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is good, and he has made his light shine on us. Now, this is a really important psalm because they used this psalm. They kind of put it in their back pocket or in their Torah ark or whatever it was, and they'll bring it out when Messiah comes. And here it is. Now, Jesus is going through Galilee. He's teaching. He's gathering. He's gathered his disciples. He's becoming famous because he's a miracle worker. He's saying things that proclaim himself as not only Messiah, but Son of God. And he's gathering a mass of followers that believe that he is the one, the anointed one. Now, the Pharisees are not liking it. He's not fitting their mold, and they're plotting, as we saw earlier chapters, they're plotting against him to kill him. But all along the way, Jesus is, as I say many times, fulfilling these prophecies. That's why we talk about the fulfill what was spoken. I'm going to run down very quickly at least 10 of them leading up to the triumphal entry. I mean, the virgin birth, that's from Matthew 1, 22-23, fulfilling Isaiah 7, 14. Born in Bethlehem, we see that in Matthew 2, that's fulfilling Micah 5, 2. He was called out of Egypt. He didn't go to Egypt just for random purposes. It says in Hosea 11, 1, call him out of Egypt. He fulfilled that one. the slaughter of the innocents that happened around him, you know, when Herod killed all those two-year-old and younger boys, that was prophesied in Jeremiah 31:15. They called him a Nazarene. Well, Matthew says that it fulfills Isaiah 11:1, the root, the Natsar of Jesse, the Nazarene. He went to Galilee, not just Jerusalem, like the other prophets, Galilee, fulfilling Isaiah 9:1-2. He was healing, fulfilling Isaiah 53:4, by his stripes we are healed. He was teaching in parables, this method of teaching. Well, also not random, Psalm 78:2 tells us that. He's fulfilling that. And then what we see in Matthew 27, he was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. We saw that last week. And that fulfills a scripture probably more closely in Zechariah, but it's attributed to Jeremiah. And there's a theological reason. But he fulfills the exact number, betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And then as we'll see, casting lots for his garment, it's fulfilled in Psalm 22. In fact, Psalm 22, if you ever read Psalm 22, you might be thinking you're reading about the crucifixion, because so much of Psalm 22 fulfills. And Jesus fulfilled all that was spoken of him. And he knew these prophecies, Jesus did, and he was not unaware that this was happening. But there was some remaining prophecies, and there was one that he had to fulfill that required a donkey. And this one was different in the fact that it was deliberate. This one was deliberate. He had to go and make this happen, you know, on his own, by his own volition. And it's the one in Zechariah 9:9. And here's what it says. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, again, the rabbis knew, the chief priests, the teachers of the law knew that this was one of those sacred scriptures, that if he really is Messiah, he'll do this. He'll do this. And it's interesting because everything we read in that little list I gave you, it was things that happened around him or because of him. But this one, he actually went out and intentionally orchestrated it. He made it happen. He told his disciples, go, I'll tell you where to go, get that donkey, bring him here, and watch what happens. Now, I often say that if Jesus was not the Messiah, he was really an audacious imposter. I mean, to do what he just did, knowing that they were waiting for the Messiah to come in on a donkey, and him doing that if he wasn't Messiah, he's pretty brazen. But he is and was the Messiah, and he fulfilled this one. So let's read the account in Matthew 21 when he does it. Verse 21. This is verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you at once. You'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything, say the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. He made arrangements already. You see, this is a prophecy he knew needed to be fulfilled, and he actually went ahead and made arrangements for this to take place. Why did he do all this? Verse 4 tells us, it's right in the title of our series, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. I hope you see how important that is, that these are not random acts. These are not random incidents. Everything Jesus did was deliberate, and much of what he did was for that very purpose, to fulfill what was spoken of him by the prophets. If he didn't do that, I hate to tell you, if he didn't do these things to fulfill, Jesus would have been a nice guy, but we wouldn't be worshiping him. If he didn't fulfill these Hebrew prophecies that said, if the Hebrew Messiah comes, he's got to do this, be this, then we probably wouldn't even be gathered here today. But he did. And here's the prophecy again. He's quoting Zechariah 9:9. Sage of the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road, because the road was all muddy. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed said it, proclaimed it. What? They pulled out the Messiah phrase. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. the Psalm of Psalm Sunday. Now, this story takes place in all the Gospels. Every Gospel colors it a little differently, with a little bit of detail. In Matthew 21, Mark 11, Luke 19, John 12. Matthew and John mention the verse. They actually quote the verse, Zechariah 9:9. All of them, except for Luke, mention branches. But when John mentions the branches, he doesn't just mention branches, he mentions palm branches. And I always like to tell you that, like, this is not a palm branch. This is a palm frond. It's actually a leaf from a palm branch. You can imagine taking a branch off a palm tree and then waving that. Blessed is he who comes in. One of these Palm Sundays, Melissa, I'd like to get everyone a branch, you know. Big palm. Matthew and Luke include the admonishment of the Pharisees, which is really an interesting thing that takes place when the Pharisees chide him. I'll tell you about that in a second. And it's all taking place from Bethpage and Bethany. And if you've been to Jerusalem, you know that there's the old city with the Eastern Gate. That's where Jesus would come in. And then comes down to the Kidron Valley. And then up the Kidron Valley is the Mount of Olives, which includes Gethsemane. But if you went over the hill, you'd see those two villages of Bethpage and Bethany. And that's where he came from. In fact, even today, there's something called the Donkey Path or Palm Sunday Road. Really, earlier today, while it was still morning in Israel, every year, it's filled with pilgrims, people walking up and down that with the palm branches. And that's where Jesus entered in. And when he did, he's fulfilling. That's so important. He was fulfilling this. So it wasn't just a random pleasant pony ride. It was to fulfill. It was an extremely audacious move by Jesus to go ahead and do it. And it really got the Pharisees infuriated. But again, they're shouting out Psalm 118:25, Lord, save us, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, as I said earlier, it's a phrase that means save us. And bear in mind, though, they're still thinking, save us from the Roman Empire. Save us from our bondage. Save us from oppression. Save us from, you know, the evil of Herod and the corruption of the chief priests. But Jesus, his salvation is beyond that. His salvation is eternal salvation. He tells us that if you believe upon me, you shall never die. John tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This is what Jesus came for, bigger than just the tyranny of Rome. Save us. Yasha, Anna, that's the Hebrew. Deliver, save. I beg you to save. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And if you kind of put a compilation of all the Gospels' way of saying it, this message would come across as, save us, our Messiah, who comes to fulfill God's mission. Save us, we beseech you, and take your rightful throne and extend heaven's salvation to us. That's exactly what he did. And I like to say, as I said earlier, it's a worship service like no other. Jesus was right there, and he allowed himself to be worshiped. I mean, can you imagine what it would have been like to have Jesus himself coming into Jerusalem and actually being able to cry out and worship him, you know, and sing and shout and praise him? There's nothing else was like that. It was almost like when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. Do you remember that in 2 Samuel 6? He was so excited because he had the Ark of the Covenant, and he's bringing it into Jerusalem from the house of Obed-Edom. And he was so excited, he danced with all his might, you know, down to his linen underwear, ephod. And he's dancing, and his wife is saying, you're undignified. He's like, I'm going to be more undignified. I'm so excited. Well, this is even bigger than that. Jesus himself coming into Jerusalem. And everyone loved it, except the Pharisees. So in Luke 19, it says this in verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. That means like Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, cry. No. The stones would cry out. That means the actual rocks would cry out. Jesus, once again, I'm not sure if he was joking or being facetious, but bear in mind, Jesus had authority over all natural world, like wind and waves. He could walk on water. He had authority over all these things. And it may have been that if they stopped, who knows? I almost wish they would have. I wish, like, you know, he said, if they stop praising me, the stones will cry out. In fact, guys, calm down, quiet out. And then the stones cry out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I would have loved to see that happen, but it didn't happen that way. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, that is the same phrase that he said when he lamented over Jerusalem, when the chief priests and the Pharisees and everyone in Jerusalem rejected him. And you remember in Matthew, we were in Matthew 23 a few weeks ago, where he looked over Jerusalem and he was weeping. He was weeping. And he said, because they rejected him, and he said, you know, you who stoned the prophets and killed those who were sent to you, how I long to gather you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not have me. Now your house is laid desolate, and you will not see me again until you, and I think he's thinking of the Pharisees, the chief priests, the Sanhedrin, until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I believe he's still waiting for that day. I believe he will return. And when he does, the Messiah phrase will be reinitiated by those who reject him now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's the day I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for all people of all nations to receive Jesus. And I think that he's waiting. And we think about the end times. We talk about the time of the Gentiles that will be fulfilled. We talk about the different parts of prophecy that still need to click in, but only he knows when he's going to return. And when he does, look out. The world that rejects him now, many will see and hear. Many eyes will open. Knees will bow. Tongues will confess that Jesus is Lord. Because that's what we're designed for, friends. You, your family, your friend, we're all designed to be in a relationship with Jesus. To be, as 2 Corinthians 5 says, to be reconciled with the Father. But the devil is out there trying to keep that from happening. That's his job, to keep people away from the relationship with Jesus. So what is our job? What is our job? Last thing I want to look at is the donkey. I can't think of Palm Sunday without thinking about that donkey. I don't know about you, but every year it comes around, I read this story, I think about that donkey. Think about if you were that donkey, right? You're tied up somewhere, and people come, these guys come and say, hey, we're going to take that thing. And your owner's like, great, take it away. I don't need it. They take him, they're bringing him to Bethpage up the hill, and they put a blanket on him, and then they put a guy on him. And then they're leading him along the way, and as they're leading him, people are putting their blankets down, their branches, so your little hooves don't get muddy, you know? And they're shouting things. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So this donkey's thinking, I'm very important, or the guy on top is really the guy I'm carrying. And maybe he becomes the most famous donkey ever, you know, more than Eeyore or Shrek's donkey, you know, maybe even more than Dominic the donkey, who knows? This is a very important donkey because he's bringing Jesus to the place where Jesus belongs, a place of worship, a place of acceptance, a place of glorification. He's bringing Jesus. There's nothing special about that donkey except for Jesus. I feel that way. There's nothing special about me except for Jesus. Without Jesus, I'm just a donkey. But with Jesus, we could bring Jesus to the places that we go, that he belongs to. You know, Jesus says in John 12:32, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw people to myself. And I think, man, there's nothing better than to lift up Jesus. Lift him up and watch what happens. If you lift him up in your conversations, if you lift him up in your social media posts, if you lift him up in your family, in your devotion, watch what happens. He will draw people to himself through you. You'll be bringing Jesus to people who desperately need it. They need him because of hope and comfort and assurance and salvation. People need Jesus in their life, whether they know it or not. So what do we do? How do we do it? Well, stir up a conversation. Take this Holy Week. Take this moment. Seize the moment. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about his crucifixion. Let's talk about the resurrection. Reach out to a friend. Reach out to a neighbor. Invite someone to church. You know what? I try to invite someone to church every week. I don't know about you. You can see by the empty chairs that not everybody comes, but but many do, and some do. I encourage you, if you invite them to church, we will preach the gospel to them. We will love them. We will welcome them. Hopefully, we won't say anything stupid to them or embarrassing, but we will lift up Jesus. And watch what happens. When you lift Jesus up, he promises, I will draw people to me. I had the opportunity to do a funeral yesterday at Princeton Alliance Church. And it was, actually, I was selected because it was a high school friend of mine, and his mom died, who went to that church. And he's not a believer, nor are his friends, nor are our friends from high school who were there. And, you know, sometimes when you're with like people that are real familiar with you, you don't want to kind of rock the boat and make waves and pre-existing relationship tides, if you know what I mean. And I knew that as I'm speaking about this woman who was a believer, that her friends and family and her children were probably not believers and probably would be uncomfortable if I challenged them to receive the gospel, challenge them to give up their life and put their life in his hands. But I thought to myself, why not? So it started as a eulogy, homily, message in a funeral. I just started saying, look, this woman will enter into eternal life because she believes, because she placed her faith in Jesus, because she said to him, you be my Lord, and she will experience the goodness of heaven. But if you don't, and if she hadn't, none of that will exist. And I said to them, if she was here right now, she'd probably tell you, listen to what the pastor is saying and give your life to Jesus. Now, listen, I don't always do that, but I did it then. And I wish I want to do it more. And I want you to as well. The time is short. If we lift up Jesus like a donkey does, he'll draw people to himself. The pastor of the church came to me afterwards. He said, I want to commend you for that. He says, I have so many regrets in my life where I could have done it, but I chose not to. When it's ever possible, preach the gospel. And I know it might come against whoever it was, St. Augustine, you know, preach the gospel with all you got at all times. That's all. I'll just stop right there. You know, use words. Jesus did, all the apostles did. When you have an opportunity to preach the gospel, use those words and preach the gospel. So that's what we want to do as we lift up Jesus. Bring people to him. They need him. Watch what happens when you do. He'll draw people to himself. He'll draw people to the salvation that he offers. And I want to say this too in closing, that James 4:8 says this. He wants you to draw to him. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's not just about your friends drawing near to Jesus. That's wonderful. What about you? Draw near to God and watch what happens. He will draw near to you. I want to challenge you this Holy Week. We're going into, Passover. For those that are celebrating, I've done three Seders this year by the end of the week. But Good Friday, where you're going to hear the conclusion of whether or not Jesus was crucified, keep you in suspense. Easter Sunday, what happened 3 days later? But really, the whole week, you have opportunities to talk about that. It's like Christmas. It's one of those times you can actually talk about Jesus. Well, this is another one. Don't miss it. Don't miss the opportunity. Stir up a conversation. Let the word speak for itself. You know, the word is like seeds, the word of God. You don't have to give someone a whole sermon at the water cooler or in the break room or in your neighborhood. You can give them a seed of the gospel and step back and watch what Jesus does. Watch what God does. So be bold. Draw near to him this week. Maybe in your devotion to him. Maybe in your study. Maybe in your prayer. Maybe when you wake up in the morning, if you don't do it already, look to the word of God. Dedicate to the Lord in prayer. And watch what happens. Draw near to God. He'll